Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know Employee Cycle, we're the people dashboard helping all of you HR leaders at small and medium-sized companies make better and smarter workforce decisions by using your HR data. So what does that mean? We know that a lot of you out there have a lot of different HR systems. When it comes time to reporting, you're pulling messy spreadsheets from all those different systems, trying to pull that together to tell one cohesive data-driven story of your workforce. But a lot of the times, it's painful, it's time-consuming, and you know there has to be a better way. Well, look no further, because that's why we built our People Dashboard, which has pre-built API connectors and integrations to the most popular systems all of you are using. Systems like Bamboo HR, namely Zenefits, Sapling, Reflective, 15.5, Office Vibe, you name it, to be able to bring all your data into one real-time and beautiful centralized People Dashboard to view, track, share, and analyze all your data in one place. Go to employeecycle.com to sign up for a demo today, or you can actually take the People Dashboard for a spin yourself and sign up for a free trial. But that's enough about me and our company, because today we have a very special guest. So please help me welcome Amy Oviedo, VP of People Ops at Kenny Group. And today we're going to discuss how to position your workforce for a market rebound. Amy, welcome to the podcast. Woo! Amy, welcome!
Thank you so much. That was a nice welcome.
Well, of course, of course. I mean, you're a great HR leader, and so you're always welcome on our podcast. So, Amy, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, and that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Always a good place to start an origin story. So I graduated from Ball State with a degree in communications and political science. Some of you will know Ball State is the home of David Letterman. When I graduated, I had literally no plan. And I flipped a coin to decide whether to move to Chicago or Atlanta, where my two older sisters lived. Chicago won. I showed up in June and literally opened. At that time, you looked for a job in the newspaper. So opened the newspaper up, started applying to things, got my first job at a company called TrueServe, which you know as True Value Hardware, at their corporate headquarters. And I was a COBRA administrator, which is maybe the worst job in HR. Somebody can fight me over that if they want. I'm not even sure that job still exists because we do it all electronically now. But ultimately, that's where I got my start. I happened to sit across from our lead recruiter. And because I figured out how to do COBRA administration in about half the time that it would take a full-time person to do it, I offered up my services to her to help out with the recruiting. She was kind enough or maybe just overly worked that she was really happy to have the help, and she let me jump into recruiting and help out. So I was really lucky to train with her. And then after about 10 months of that role, which is about all I could take of doing COBRA administration, I took my first all-commission job in a staffing agency downtown Chicago and got my start in IT recruiting. And I've really been with that throughout my career. I've always worked in tech companies. I love the pace of them and have really stuck on the talent side of things. Coming to Kenny Group 7 years ago now, I was really lucky to come in at a time. I was hired as director of recruiting, and there really wasn't a lot of HR here. So our CEO, Jim Kenny, gave me free rein to really build what I felt like we needed to grow and scale the organization. So been building that, and we're now really ready to take on that next phase of growth. We were ready for that at the beginning of this year, and obviously this year's thrown a lot of curveballs everyone's way. But we're focused now on how we move through and past everything going on and continue to grow the business from here. And I continue to grow my HR career within the organization.
Thanks for that background. And you're also living proof that you can actually make good life choice decisions by flipping a coin.
So yeah, absolutely.
I definitely want to include that. All right. So we're talking about positioning your workforce for a market rebound. Mm-hmm. And I know this was something that you wanted to discuss. So let's talk about what do you mean by market rebound, and then we'll get into the details of that.
Sure. I have the privilege of age on my side. So I've been through a couple of recoveries post 9/11, post Hurricane Katrina, the downturn in 2008. So I've been a part of tech companies during all of those rebounds. And one thing is always true. It always comes back. The business always picks up. You always need more great people. You will always have turnover and need to continue to staff your organization with the best talent possible. So if there's one thing I've learned over the years, it's expect the unexpected and kind of be ready for whatever comes next. In this case, ultimately, where we're focused is we still have growth plans. We still have things we want to do with the business next. And we need great people to make that happen. We're a professional services organization serving automation and analytics solutions to our customers. And we need top talent to be able to deliver those services. So no matter what, we know there will be a next phase and we just want to be ready for it.
That's really interesting. So what does the stage look like right before the market rebound? Like, what is your company going through and what are you actually preparing for before the market rebound actually happens?
I think a step before that is really determining what your rebound might look like, right? And we're all in a state of ambiguity right now. And that's a place you just have to get really comfortable with. We don't know what's coming next. If you all tuned in to have me tell you what's coming next, I don't have a secret magic eight ball or anything that's going to tell us that for sure. But what I do know is there will be more turmoil. There will be more things that happen. And ultimately, there will be a day at which we look back and we say, all right, we're ready. Let's take that next step forward. So what we're doing now to prepare is really looking at the unknown. What are the things that might happen? What are the timeframes that we believe things might turn around a little bit? And we've been lucky. Some parts of our business have been completely unfazed through COVID. So those have continued to move along just as normal. Others, we've had to take a little bit of step back and look at what is next? What do we need in place? So we're doing two key things as we prepare for that unknown timeframe. One is we're taking care of our people. So colleague well-being is probably the number one phrase that my teammates hear from me on a day-to-day basis right now. Our leaders, we're training them to check in, make sure that people have what they need to be successful, both at home and at work, because we're all finding now work and home are all one place together. So the team that you have is also thinking about their next step. Even if you're not thinking about those folks leaving, right? They're thinking, do I like the way my company responded during this time? Do I feel stable in my role? Am I still learning and growing? What is the next step for me? So if you're not thinking about that, they are. So we're talking to our teams all the time. How do we stay on top of keeping the right people in the right seats and keeping our valued talent engaged in what those next phases will be? So even when the next phase is unknown, continuing to talk about it and to allow people the opportunity to share what they want to do next and how that might fit into what the company's headed for is one really important side of that. The second side is recognizing that there will be some turnover. Some folks will leave your organization as the economy makes its rebound and there will be more opportunities. And companies who maybe cut all of their talent during this time, we were lucky to not need to do that. But many companies didn't have a choice and had to make that really tough decision. Those companies will be coming after your talent. They will be trying to regain the talent that they lost during this time. So you want to be ready for that. So on the talent acquisition side, we're building that funnel, not just for growth and for what we know will be the rebound and recovery that our customers will experience and will do more projects and continue to have more business on that side. But we're also preparing for the fact that some of our colleagues will choose to move on. And you could read a million statistics out there. The most recent one I saw shows that 30% of people right now who are working are already thinking about their next step, even with all the uncertainty around them. So again, just looking at who do you have, who do you want to keep in the seat, taking care of those people as best as you can, and then planning towards what is the recovery period and getting that talent on board now. So we can talk more about how we're doing that. One way is we are doing continuous social campaigns. So putting out the good work that our company's doing today, highlighting the colleagues who are really valued with us, making sure that they know what they're valued for, because other people will see themselves in that talent. And we're putting those people into our talent pool. So we're continuing to do ongoing interviews. We're building pools of talent that will be ready to join our organization whether it's through 1099 during this downturn period or potentially coming on full time as we take that full next growth phase.
Interesting. So it sounds like you're saying you're playing offense and defense at the same time. Offense from the standpoint of looking to hire the best talent, especially people who may have left other companies due to them downsizing, but then also aggressively playing defense because you know there's going to be a lot of companies that will also try to take your talent as well.
Yeah, I take it a step further on the offensive side that we're not just looking at people who were displaced, right? We also know that a lot of companies held on to their best talent just like we did and we hope to continue to do. So we're looking across the board. What's different from a recruiting perspective when you're in a downturn is the way we would look at resumes, right? In the past, we would say, oh, this person is a job hopper or they've been out of work. There must be something wrong with them. Like those are all natural thoughts. So I'm encouraging our recruiters to look at resumes right now, the way they look at them when they see that somebody left in 2001 or 2008 from a job. We don't think about it as recruiters now. We just say, oh, that person was part of the downturn. No big deal. And we move on past the conversation. And we have to do the same thing now. There's good talent still working. There's good talent not working. We're looking at everybody with a clean slate and determining who is the best fit for our organization and who has those next skills. So as we're doing that workforce planning towards our growth strategy, we know there's some new skills that we need to bring into the business that we don't have today. So we have two choices, upskill the team that we have, or we go hire that talent. So we're tackling both at the same time because that training and development is part of our retention strategy. But we're also looking toward what is the good talent available in the marketplace that we can take advantage of today. And as soon as things turn around and we have the opportunity to continue to grow our team moving forward. If you think about it in terms of sports, one of my favorite players ever is Dennis Rodman, the old Chicago Bulls. He was always in the right place for the rebound. He was part of a team and his sole purpose was to make sure he was there every time to start that play for his team. So we want to be in that same type of energy of ensuring we're looking at the right holes and then thinking through the best strategy to fill them. And because there's so much unknown, we don't know what that strategy is yet, right? We can only build the pool for the future, get the right people into our discussions, and knowing who our organization is. Kinney Group's not a name that most people listening to this have ever heard of, but we're doing some really huge projects. We work with a ton of Fortune 500 and DoD customers that you definitely know. So we have to build a reputation with that top talent so that they will select our organization as things improve.
I'm loving the Dennis Rodman reference.
Good. I like that. I always worry that people no longer know who the Chicago Bulls are, but if you don't know who Dennis Rodman is, I feel bad for you.
Same. Yeah, it's so interesting that the Michael Jordan era is so far in the past.
So far.
So I have a question about you playing defense in regards to keeping your existing workforce. How did you go about learning what they were looking for to stay, the challenges that they were going through, so that you can go about actually making sure that you're providing the best employee experience possible? Was that through surveys? Were you talking to them directly? If so, was that you as the HR person and or team or the managers? How did that happen?
Yeah, there's so much that goes into that. And I should caveat this to say we're a 100-person company. I come from a billion-dollar organization before this. So the way I would have tackled it there is very different than how I have the ability to tackle it here. With 100 people, I got on the phone with every single person in the organization for at least 30 minutes, if not longer, and I did a stay interview. So versus that exit interview when you ask what's going on as people leave, we do stay interviews here typically about every 6 months or so, and it's with one of our members of our people team. And I was able to reach out and just ask them questions like, how are you doing? What's going on? What can I do to help you? Do you feel supported? Do you have everything you need? And I heard everything, Bruce, everything from, oh my gosh, I just really need a monitor at my home office because I left mine at the office. That's a quick, easy solve, right? Those little resourcing things were easy to solve. The bigger problems that most people have were, I'm really lonely. I miss the office. My dog barks during all my meetings. And we've all been seeing each other's lives in a whole new way now in Zoom world. So it was really nice to be able to spend some one-on-one time with each colleague and really understand what they needed. In a larger organization, you could do that through your leaders, through your HR business partners, whatever your structure is, there's definitely a way to get in front of people. And more importantly, open those lines of transparency to give people a place to go. So we did that not only through the stay interviews and kind of open dialogue with our leaders, but also we use Office Vibe, which I think is a tool that you're familiar with as well. And we use that as a weekly pulse survey. I have been amazed and shocked at our results over the last 6 months. We've been up across every category during this time when people have so much stress in their lives and so many things going on. We're still continuing to see our team value the work that we're putting in to keeping them engaged, to keeping the business moving forward, our focus on colleague well-being and business continuity. We started an all-hands weekly call, which we had never had before. We started that, I think, the week after we moved into quarantine back in March. So that's been a big part of our strategy as well, is staying front of mind with our team every week. We've opened up all the financials to the entire team to show them where we're at, how we're moving forward. And that allowed them to ask questions and really to get a feel for, are they in a stable place, even though other things around them, school is uncertain, the world is uncertain, there's so much uncertainty. They could meet every Wednesday and see, all right, we're on pace. We're a little behind on this goal. We're ahead on this one. Let's rally and move in the right direction. So it was multi-pronged. And I have to give a lot of credit to our leaders and managers who really stepped into empathetic roles and just are asking a lot of questions. And we always start with, how are you? Or what's on your mind? Really basics that allow people to open up and share whatever it is they want to. We're out of the time in which we can't talk about certain topics. We're in a time now where we're talking about everything. Everything's on the table all the time.
That's fascinating. So I want to now jump back to the offense side and talk about hiring, especially when the market rebound happens. I believe you said earlier that you're doing things like using social media to promote all the great work you're doing. Even though I know that's the channel that you're using, what's the message and what's the overall strategy for differentiating your opportunity versus another company? You know, the way that I look at it is that HR managers are like product managers and the employee experience is your product. So how are you differentiating your product versus all the other products and job offers that employees will have, especially in the market rebound?
Sure. So I think first you have to differentiate yourself in a way that says we're the same. We offer the same things that other big tech companies are going to offer, because without that, they won't even take the conversation a step further. So once you have that even playing field of just because you haven't heard of us doesn't mean we're not doing fun things and doing great work. Once you can get past that hurdle, we're then messaging towards the compelling work that we do. Everything in our business is solutions oriented. We're a service provider, so we're solving customers' problems alongside them every day. And we're doing that with really advanced, newer technology in the marketplace. Splunk is one product that we work with a ton, but rather than just doing, you know, traditional Splunk installs, we are solving real world problems with our customers to help them move forward through their journeys, getting all their data analytics where they want them, and continuing to use that data to solve their problems. So when we can lay out an engineering opportunity, which is the bulk of what we hire, we're really focused on the compelling work and the ownership and accountability that our teammates will have in solving that customer's issue. So it's a way to, again, strike that balance of you're going to have all the same benefits and perks and environment and great culture that you're going to see at so many tech companies. There's a million great companies out there that you could go work for. The reason you want to come here is it's not going to be boring. There's always going to be something new to learn. You're going to continue to grow your technology skill set, and you're going to get to put that to use in real world work, solving problems right with your customer every day.
Are you planning on returning back to the office?
We've transitioned to a work from anywhere environment. We have some people working back in our Indianapolis headquarters now. Prior to COVID, there were probably 40 people who worked there every day. On any given day now, there's, I'd say, 8 to 12 people. And it's really turned into a collaborative space. It's a place you can meet and get together if you need to. Or we have some folks who need a place to work, right? Their kids are at home doing school. and their spouses are working at home as well. So they're trading off, and you know, one person is going to the office for a couple of days to get some extra space and free up some of that Wi-Fi bandwidth. So we're just trying to be as flexible as our colleagues need. The space is there if they need it, but nobody's required to go back there now or in the future. We've really embraced the work from anywhere. I would say prior to COVID, we were really, really bad at remote work. We had half of our people working remotely 100% of the time all over the country, and we were terrible at engaging them. So this was a really good way for us to step back and say, we've been doing this all wrong. We needed to treat everybody exactly the same and providing the same level of information, whether they were in the office or not. And I know we believed we were doing a good job, but looking back now, you can really see where there were huge gaps. When we did an all company meeting, for example, you'd have 40 people in one room and 50 people dialing in, trying to hear what was going on and overhear the jokes and the laughter and not really be a part of the meeting. So that has been a huge change. Now on our weekly all hands, everybody's in a Zoom window. It really leveled the playing field where you're getting voices so much louder than you did before from the field. And they're the ones doing the work. Most of our engineers are field-based, doing the customer's compelling work every day. We want to hear from them more. And now we have that even opportunity to do so. And we're getting, honestly, way more work done. And it's just been a really good breath of fresh air for a change that was forced, but turned out to be a really good outcome.
And then the last question that I want to ask, as you're thinking about positioning your workforce for a market rebound, historically, companies have used work from anywhere, virtual work, remote work as a perk or a way to differentiate themselves. But what's interesting, as you were talking about people feeling lonely and isolated, I'm wondering in the future, moving forward, will it almost be a perk to actually have an office and for somewhere for people to go to? So moving forward, how are you thinking about that? And if you were to predict the future, how do you think employees will be thinking about that as a necessity versus most people being okay to just work from wherever they are?
Yeah, again, I wish I had that magic eight ball. I believe people will do what they need to do for their personal survival. And I use that word not lightly because it really is survival. We're in a mental game right now, and people need to do what's best for them. If that means they take a walk in the middle of the day every day to rest and recharge, get their mind settled, great. I have other colleagues who are working from a coffee shop at least two mornings a week because they need that buzz of people around them. As an organization, whatever you can do to create options and opportunity for people to do what they need to do to meet their mental needs and kind of meet them where they are is the right thing to do. We will likely move towards more collaborative hubs. So we have a handful of cities around the country where we have more than one person. There are some places like in Idaho where we have just one guy working, right? So he doesn't have as many choices or options for collaborating with our own teams. But where we have those hubs, we will likely set up collaborative space or take advantage of all the open workspaces that are available in the marketplace now. We are redesigning our Indianapolis office to be less one-to-one area and more collaborative workspace. So all those things are happening, but we're also trying to just take advantage of the tools we have and what's available to us right now. So little things like a Zoom hangout doesn't sound that exciting, but for some people to be able to log in when they're the only person in their city and there's no way to get together now or in the future, having that ability to work with someone in the background has been really game-changing for them. So we want to continue to provide all those opportunities, whatever they are, and the sky's the limit. We've asked our team for ideas. What do they want? What do they need? And we're going to try to fulfill as many of those as we can.
Got it. Well, Amy, thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest and for sharing all your wisdom and experience around this. We really appreciate it. So thanks again for sharing with the HR community.
Woo! Amy!
Thanks, Bruce.
So where can people find you and Kinney Group online?
So kinneygroup.com, K-I-N-N-E-Y, like the shoes, is the best place to see all of our opportunities. And LinkedIn is the absolute best place to connect with me. I'm Amy Oviedo, O-V-I-E-D-O, on there. And I'm always happy to make a connection request and help you out in any way that I can. Networking is really what we all should be focused on for the rebound. So if I can help you in any way, please let me know.
Awesome. And we'll definitely include all of that contact info in the show notes. So for everyone listening out there, if you enjoyed this episode as much as Amy and I did making it, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Also, if you came to this interview because you're either already a huge super fan of Amy and you absolutely had to hear what she was going to say, or you thought that this topic was compelling, but now you're hungry for more episodes, then please go to employeecycle.com to sign up for our podcast newsletter, or you can subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast platforms. And last but not least, all of you super awesome HR and people leaders, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.